Praise the Lord, everybody. Hallelujah. Who honestly can say, to worship you, I live? Amen, amen. It's a wonderful spirit tonight. Amen. We can feel the Spirit of God since this morning. We got blessed this morning with the college children. And it was a wonderful service that we have this morning, a wonderful preaching. And even some of the words or the verses I was going to preach or I'm preaching today, they brought them up. So I guess I'm on the right track. Amen. Let us pray for Brother Calvillo. I know we say we're going to pray, but let us pray for him right now. Let's go before God and ask God to bless our pastor and Sister Grogan and right now the First Lady of the Church. In the name of Jesus, let us go before and pray. God, Lord Jesus, we come before your presence. We thank you, God, for your blessings. We thank you, God, for, Lord Jesus, that you are mighty God, Lord Jesus. We ask you, Lord, for Brother James Calvillo, that you touch him, Lord. Bless him, touch his body, Lord, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We claim healing on his body, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord Jesus. Bring our pastor and his wife safely, Lord Jesus, home. In the name of Jesus. Amen. If we go to the book of John, chapter 16. My son told me I won't preach long, so just give me 5 minutes in God's time. The Bible says this, for God, 1,000 years is like one day. So just give me 5 minutes in God's time, okay? So, amen. I just wanted to say that I'm honored to be here. Amen. For the pastor to give me the opportunity to bring the Word of God. Amen. So I just humbly come here, amen, with fear of God in my heart. And I know you are special people. You are people of God. Amen. So we always have to be careful what we say. And not to hurt no feelings, but I'm just grateful to be here, and I thank God for his blessings. So let us jump to chapter 16, verse 4. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, you may remember that I told you of them. And this thing I say, not unto you as in the beginning, because I was with you. And now I am no longer in the world. Amen. But now I go away to him that sent me. And now you ask me, none of you ask me where thou goest. But because I had said unto this, to these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is exceedingly for you that I might go away. My word in the Spanish says, is a profitable to you that I might go. For if I not go away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. The sin because they don't believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Lord Jesus, we come before your presence. Lord, let it not be to speak to your people, God, hallelujah. Through the power of the Holy Ghost, Jesus, through the power of your anointing, through the power, Lord Jesus, of your blessings, Lord. Let it be a lips for your word, God, Jesus. In the name of Jesus, Lord. We thank you, Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus, amen. You may be seated. Like I said, it's a great privilege to be in the house of God. Sometimes I wonder how good God is. We all come from different countries, different lives, different backgrounds, different traditions, different way of doing things, different foods. But when it comes to God, we all think the same. When it comes to serve God, we all think the same. I'm titled my message, Soldiers of the Kingdom of God. Jesus is speaking to the disciples, and he's telling something that was prophesied in Isaiah. And he said a few words that he was going to be gone. And the disciples' heart were filled with sorrow. And I can understand if I was one of the disciples in those times, I would probably think the same thing. Because they used to walk with Jesus. And they used to see all the miracles and wonders and healing the sick, giving the sight to the blind, and doing miracles. I mean, how would you feel if you walk in with somebody that has that kind of power? How would you feel with somebody even resurrect Lazarus after 4 days of he was dead? You know what happened after 4 days when somebody dies? And God raised him from the dead. So I can imagine the disciples walking so proud next to him. They're walking with the way maker, the provider. They're walking with God. They're walking with him. And he's seeing all the miracles and wonders and all the things that were happening. And this is, he told them the news that he was going to be gone. So imagine the sadness of the disciples when he mentioned to them that he was going to be gone. But he said, it's profitable for you for me to go. It's going to be better. See, God had another plan. God had another purpose. He was going to establish a kingdom in this world. The Lord said, let your kingdom come. And earth, it is in heaven. And the kingdom of God, when God is in the environment, when God is in a place, automatically becomes a kingdom. Nicodemus wanted to be part of the kingdom. He wanted to be part of the group. And he told them, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God unless you be born of water and the Spirit. Sometimes we use the scripture, if you want to go to the kingdom of heaven or in heaven, but the kingdom of God is a kingdom from heaven. And Nicodemus wanted to be part of the kingdom, but he told you must be born again to be part of the kingdom of heaven. Ever since the beginning of the world, is about control. God made Adam and Eve, and he created the world. He filled it out with all the trees and the sea, the animals of the sea, on the animals, and he gave it to Adam, and he put Adam in charge. He gave him the power to take care of the earth. He gave him the power to take care of the earth, not to own the earth, but to take care of it, to work it and eat everything you can or whatever you want to eat. But you know the story that Satan came to Adam and Eve and he deceived them, and he made them sin. So now the devil had control of humanity. The devil was in control of mankind through sin, through disobedience. So Jesus came to this world to make a kingdom. And the kingdom of God, amen, is God. So when you need a kingdom, you need a king. You need a God. Amen. Jesus is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So if you want a king, or if you have a kingdom, you need a king. So if we go to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, which is they read it this morning. Say, for unto you a child is born, and unto us a son is given. And the government or the kingdom shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and the peace thereof, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon the throne upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish with the judgment and with the justice from the henceforth even forever. The seal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. It was prophesied what Jesus was saying. It was prophesied in Isaiah. There was going to be a king coming into earth to establish a kingdom. Sometimes I think that we think the Holy Ghost is the weakest link of God. Sometimes we think, oh, it's the Holy Ghost, it's no big deal. But the Bible said that God is a spirit. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. God was manifested as a father in creation. God was manifested as a son and redeemed and redemption. And the spirit that we feel today is God himself. No one else, God himself. And sometimes we don't know what we have. It's a children of God. It's a soldiers of God. The enemy took the control of Adam and Eve. But when Jesus died and he resurrected, he went unto hell and took the keys from Satan. He took the power from Satan. And he didn't give the keys to the angel. He said, he could have said, Michelangelo, I would give you the keys of hell. But he gave it to Peter. He gave the keys to mankind. Because the beginning, God's purpose is for man to rule over this earth. He could have sent his angels to rule in this earth. But his purpose of God is for mankind to rule in the earth. That's why the Bible calls us the children of God. And child of God. We have the kingdom and we have the king. So in every government this, as we can see all around, they have weapons and they have armies and they have all kinds of stuff that they can. They say we have this, we are stronger. I know Donald Trump said our weapons are bigger. You got nuclear bombs, we got bigger nuclear bombs. And always about intimidating the other countries. About intimidating, humankind is always trying to control. If you know history, you know the things that happened during the years of Hitler and during the years of Roman Empire and in the Egyptian time, always wanted to control the world. So always been a struggle for control. Always been a struggle for control. So God established a kingdom and a government and also an army. Amen. And the army is you and me. Amen. God said it's prosperous for me to live. It's profitable for you for me to live. I know the disciples were walking with Jesus, seeing all the miracles. But God's purpose is for him to dwell inside of us and multiply himself in each and every one of us. So whatever you have inside of you, There's no other than only God is inside of you. God Almighty is living inside of me. God Almighty is living inside of you. And there's a purpose for that. There's a purpose for that. So we have the army. Now we need the weapons. The Bible says that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God for pulling down the strongholds of the enemy. Amen. Because we're not fighting with our brother. We're not fighting with your sister. The Bible says we're fighting against the rulers of darkness, our principalities. Amen. We have weapons, amen, that we don't comprehend. I mean, the Bible said that we have angels. Angels, they're right there next to us to fight for us. All they need is the command. All they need is for you to say the word. Amen. We got angels that will come into fight for you. Amen. And God has given us angels to help us fight. Amen. But we also have something which is the Spirit of God that dwells inside of us. He will come and fight for us. I mean, the Bible says that just by the mention of his name, the demons tremble. They started shaking. Just by the mention of the name Jesus. Amen. If you say it with the words of anointing, with the power and with all your heart, and the name of Jesus, those demons start shaking. Amen. So the enemy put out bigger weapons and they start bringing more rulers of darkness, more bigger. Amen. And it comes to the point that even the devil himself will come, because the Bible said that he is like a roaring lion seeking who he may devour. Amen. He's trying to put fear in our hearts. See, he's trying to paralyze us with fear. He's trying to keep you afraid, because it's something that we don't know, something spiritual that we don't know, we don't understand, and we get afraid. But let me tell you, something inside of us is more greater. The Bible says, greater is he that's in me than he that is in the world. We have something greater inside of us. The Bible says that we have the real lion inside of us from the tribe of Judah, the living inside of us. I mean, there's some most powerful, I mean, God living inside of us. We should not be afraid of the enemy. We should not be afraid of the devil. Hallelujah. Oh, we can put it under our feet. We can step all over him, and we can rebuke them. We got power over darkness. We got power over the spiritual darkness and demons. God has given us the weapons and the power to rule in this world. God has given us the control, the responsibility in this world. He said in Acts chapter 1, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost comes upon you. You have power inside of you. It's not you that's going to defeat the devil. It's not me that I'm going to defeat the devil. It's the God that is living inside of us. Amen. So as a soldier, we need to prepare our weapons. We need to prepare ourselves. We need to pray. We need to be in contact with God all the time. And we fill with the Holy Spirit. We fill with God. Amen. Because we don't know when we're going to need the weapon to pull it out and use God, hallelujah, to fight. Amen. To have control over the enemy, to defeat him. We're trying to fight him with our own strength, and we can't do it. It is not by power, it is not by might, it's by the Holy Spirit. So see, brothers, we need the Spirit of God in our hearts. That's why we call a prayer. That's why we need to pray. Amen. Because we have to be ready for the fight. We have to exercise our faith. We have to exercise it. We have to exercise every day. The soldiers get up every morning and exercise and do all kinds of stuff. Amen. Get to get ready for the war. Amen. We need to exercise our spiritual things, the spiritual get closer to God and receive blessings from God. Amen. This is one part of what God has done for us. But God has not sent us only to fight with the devil. God has sent us to save the lost. The Bible says he reproved all the world of sin. When you talk to somebody, or you're going to talk to somebody, you know, sometimes it's kind of frustrated. You want to talk to somebody until you get purple on your face to understand what you're trying to say, and they still don't listen. But if you get God involved, if you get the Spirit of God involved, and you say, God, speak through me. Let it not be me, but let it be you. And when you open your mouth and start speaking, God starts speaking through you. And he will start touching the hearts, touching the spirit. And people starting believe, because when you speak the word of God, when you speak something believing in what you believe, and you say it with believing in your heart, with the strength in your heart that you believe what you're saying is right. God puts a conviction in people's hearts, and they surrender their lives to him. I remember when my cousin used to come to preach the word of God to me, I said, yeah, you're crazy. You're loco. And I grew up with him in Mexico and when we were young. And I knew who he was. But I didn't know that God saved him. And he used to come every Sunday all the way from Santa Barbara and take us to church. Until God got a hold of me. See, people can try to do so many things, but we have to allow God to touch somebody's heart. God has to do the change. We can't change anybody. We cannot convince anybody. Only the Holy Spirit will transform somebody. Also, the Bible says that in Mark 16:16, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they shall cast out devils. They shall speak in new tongues. See, but the problem is we only get onto the low level. We think that speaking in tongues is the end. Oh, I mean, it's okay to speak in tongues and feel the presence of God and have a good time. But that's not all. There's more to do. We can cast devils out. We can speak in tongues, and that's good to speak in tongues. Like I said, we can feel the presence of God and have a hallelujah time in church. But it's more than experience. You put it in the next verse, sister. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any daily thing, they shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they may recover. Do you know what kind of power that you have? It's the same God. It's the same Spirit since the beginning of the church. The Bible said there were signs and wonders were done by the disciples. And sometimes we think only the ministers had the power or the right to pray for somebody. But the scripture didn't say that. The Bible says this sign shall follow them that believe. It could be a child. It could be a woman. It could be an elderly person. Doesn't matter who is it, who is, as long as you believe, it's going to happen. So the main ingredient that we need is belief. And believing is having faith that's going to happen. Faith is something that things hope for, the evidence that things not see. When you pray for somebody, you must believe that he's going to be healed. You must believe it's not you, it's not me. We're not looking for any praises. But the Bible gives us the authority to claim healing. Sometimes we think that, well, God doesn't listen to me. I've been praying. And God is saying, I gave you the power a long time ago. I gave you the answer a long time ago. The Bible said we, by his stripes, we are healed. He already paid the price. He already died for you and me. He already paid the price for your sins. He already paid the price for your healings. All you got to do is believe. Amen. But sometimes we feel like the disciples, sad. Because God doesn't pay attention to us. God is there. He said, I will never leave you. I will forsake you. John 14:12 says, if you believe in me, say, barely, barely, I say unto you. And when he says barely, barely twice, that means it's real. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believed in me and the works that I do, greater things you shall do. Not because who I am, but because somebody greater is inside of me. This is not our own personal fight. This is a fight for the kingdom. I know we sing songs, he lighting up the kingdom, pushing back the darkness, and we sing it and we say a lot all the time. But it's nothing happened. It's more than coming to church every Sunday. It's more than coming on Wednesday or Bible study, which all that stuff is good. Maybe we should do that. But it's alive. It should be alive. It should be daily. It should be a passion. It should be that we surrender to God with all our hearts and say, God, do with me whatever you want. Do with me whatever you want. Use me in any way. If you can use anything, Lord, use me. You can use anybody, Lord, use me. Oh, what God needs is somebody to be ready, to be able to let God use you. The Bible says also that Everything you bind on this earth shall be bound in heaven. Everything you loose on this earth shall be loose in heaven. We are a special people. We are children of God. We are co-heirs with Christ. That everything that belongs to God is us, it belongs to us. Sometimes we wonder, we're fighting, and we want to buy a house, which is good. But we're so worried about buying houses and buying cars and all that. And it's okay if God will bless you. I'm not nothing wrong with it. But you know what? Everything that we accumulate in this world is going to be gone. He is the owner. He is the owner not only of all those things, but he is the owner of your body. The Bible says that, didn't you know that you are the temple of the living God? That is not yours, that is his. When Jesus takes over your body, you become property of God. He is the owner of your body. He is the owner of your heart. He is the owner of your mind. He is the owner of your strength. That's why the Lord said that we should worship God with all our hearts, with all our strength, with all our might. Don't come to church just do parquet, or, you know, just, this is real. This is real. God wants to do great things. God wants to raise an army that stand up for him. God wants to raise men and women that decide, make a decision, and say, I will join the lines of fighting for God. I will fight and surrender your life to God. You know, when somebody joins the army or any armed forces, you don't belong to yourself no more. You belong to the government. You belong to Uncle Sam. And he tell you what to do. He tell you what time you're going to get up, what time you're going to eat, what time you're going to exercise, and what time you got to go take a shower. And they give you time for rest. And they tell you what time you're going to go to bed. You don't have no rights in the army. But God is looking for volunteers. He doesn't force us to pray. He doesn't bring us to church by force. God wants you for you. God wants you to serve. You serve him with all your heart. And to be ready to fight for him. Let us not be afraid of the enemy. The enemy tried to scare us. To put us fear. You know, fear can paralyze a person, spiritually talking. Like you can get paralyzed. You don't know what to do. Because you're afraid. But if you have the power of God, you can cast all that fear. When you have God on your side, when God is with you, who can be against us? There is no weapon can be formed to come against you. I mean, inside of you is the Holy Ghost, is the Spirit of God that's fighting for you. Even the book of Romans chapter 8 says that he prayed for you. He's always coming and praying for you and helping you. I mean, Because you know that this thing's a spiritual, God wants to deal with the spirit of man, not with the flesh, not with the mind. And Romans says that, how shall we pray? We don't know what to pray for. And I'm not thinking about your mind, it's the needs of your spirit. Because inside of us is a spirit that sometimes is weak. Because sometimes we don't feed him the way you feed your body. You don't feed him no tacos, no menudo, none of that stuff. But also you can get sick spiritually, I'm not talking. You can get sick in your spirit. You can get weak. And that's why a lot of people, they get sick in the spirit. That's okay. It's only Wednesday. I don't have to go to church. Any little excuse. And they look for any little excuse not to come to church. And it shouldn't be that way. It's danger right there. But you start staying home. And next thing you know, Sunday, the football is coming. The Raiders and the 49ers are playing. And you focus more on the football, and you forget about God. I hope none of that starts happening. Any chance you come, I know you have to work sometimes, and your boss said you have to be here on Sunday, and we can understand that. The pastors can understand that too. That you have to work. And doesn't mean if you're gonna be working, doesn't mean you're not gonna be praying. You're not gonna be rejoicing. I don't know if you do dishwashing or whatever you do in your job. Just praise. Enjoy the service, enjoy the time. Oh, my brother's over there rejoicing in church. I wish I could have been there. There's people there. They're kind of old. I mean, I was a sister in Salina. She was already an old sister. And her hope, it was that she wants to be in church. And sometimes she was sick, and she would come to church sick. No matter how we feel, no matter what we go through, we should come to church. We should be faithful to God. We should be faithful to the Lord and be faithful in the service of God. Amen. Just love God with all your heart. Serve God with all your heart. God wants to use us in a mighty way. Amen. Don't you want to see miracles and wonders in our church? Don't you want to see something happening? Amen. Can you imagine if it was in the news? Hey, there's healings in Tulare. Something's happening over there in the church on Barsley and Mooney. Something's going on. And people, they want to say something good that happened. Somebody got healed. Somebody got healed from cancer. Somebody got healed from whatever sickness it was. And this place will be full of people looking for an answer. This place will be, there will be no room enough to have all these people here. Because people always wanted a miracle. People are looking for miracles and people are looking for signs and wonders. But when people start seeing those things, something's going to happen. So as a church, we got to get together and get ready. The Lord is coming very soon. And the latter rain is coming. The blessing is coming. Amen. In the last day, the Bible said that he will pour out his spirit. But Paul says, how will they know? There's nobody will tell them. How will they know there's something going on and nobody talks to them? Sometimes we are ashamed or afraid to say something to somebody because they're going to criticize me. You know, don't worry about it. Sometimes we're afraid to knock on the door because they're going to come and slap my face. Don't worry about it. Just turn the other cheek. Oh, I didn't like this one. Do this one. Don't be afraid. Just tell me what Jesus has done in your life. Sometimes we say, the excuse that we keep, oh no, I don't know too much Bible. Who cares? Just tell them what Jesus has done for you. That's good enough. And you know, God has done so many wonderful things for some of the people that God took them out of drugs. God took him out of alcoholic and, you know, nicotine addiction and all kinds of stuff. And, you know, that's a great testimony. You know, God has done many miracles in my wife. And we're just waiting for the last one. He healed her from, what's the name of the thing that you had? Lupus. She used to cry all the time in the living room at night, like you hear, even though she's trying to be quiet, she would put a rag in her mouth and go, pains that she felt like the arm was hanging from the one of the nerves. So painful. And one day, God healed her. That's what I know. I believe that God is a miracle worker. God is a miracle worker. I know the Bible says everything is for a purpose. Everything she's going through is for a purpose. Maybe for a miracle. One time they asked Jesus, who sent, Lord, this man that has paralyzed him or his parents? Who sent? Because sometimes they believe that if you sin, it's because somebody sinned or you sinned. And the Lord said, no, it's, he's sick because for the honor and glory of God. Amen. And sometimes we feel like a sickness is the end. I mean, but it's, we got to believe in God. We got to trust God. He has control of our lives. Everything belongs to him. Whether I live or whether I die, I belong to him. If we live or we die, I mean, to die is a gain, the Bible says. Because we'll be gone from this world in the presence of God. Amen. So we all stand. I know I'm not a hyper preacher. I don't hang around the chandeliers or anything like that. But I just wanted to speak to your heart. To think about it. God saved you. He has saved me for a purpose. I came to this country looking for the American dream. And I found something better. I found something better. A man with no education. Sometimes my Spanish accent comes out. I'm not a fully, I wish I could speak in English like the way I speak Spanish, but I would like to have the freedom to be able to speak better English. And I know this is my second language, and my third one is speaking in tongues. But I don't understand what I'm saying. So tonight I want to invite you to surrender your life to Christ. I know you'll give your life to him when you repent. Let tonight be the night that you say, Lord, do with me whatever you want. The Lord said, I know the plans that I have for you. Plans of prosperity not an evil. God wants blessings for you. Amen. What song is that? What song is that?
When I raise my head, even though I'm not strong, oh, when I rest my head, even though everything's going wrong, when I rest my head, I start to feel the anointing that makes me sing. When I raise my hands, I start to feel the fire. My head, my burdens passed away. You gave me strength for another day. All things are possible. All things are possible when I raise my head. My hands, even though I'm not strong, I raise my head, even though everything's going wrong. When I raise my hands, I start to feel the anointing that makes me sing. When I raise my hands, I start to feel the fire. For another day, all things are possible. All things are possible when I rest my head. Oh, when I rest my head, I start to feel the anointing that makes me sing. When I raise my hand, I start to feel the fire. All things are possible when I raise my hand.
you know, by raising your hands, all your burdens melt away. All the pain, all the pressure, all the things of life melt away. Just by raising your hand. Just by worshiping God. Amen. Just, we need to enjoy God. We need to enjoy the presence of God when we need to. Hallelujah. There's an old song. Another song. I know the thrill that I feel when we get together. I know that thrill that I feel when we get together with God's wonderful people. Lord, I feel when I'm together with God's wonderful people. Love to see all that I be facing. Do it faster. That I feel when we get together with God's wonderful people. Love that thrill that I feel when we get together with God's wonderful people. Lord, to see all the happy faces praising God in heavenly places. What I feel that I feel together with God's wonderful people. I love that thrill that I feel when we get together with God's wonderful people. Love that thrill that I feel when we get together with God's wonderful people. Love to see all the happy faces praising God in heavenly places. What a thrill that I feel when we get together with God's wonderful people. I love that thrill that I feel when we get together with God's wonderful people. Love that thrill that I feel when we get together with God's wonderful people. To see all the happy faces praising God in heavenly places. What a thrill that I feel when we get together with God's wonderful people. Hallelujah. God bless you.